And this is the one of the interesting points. People don't believe that governors actually respond.
Right.
You know, there's a staff right. that does all this.
Right.
I was there.
Yeah.
He read everything.
That's great.
And he would change some of it and take it back and say no, because it needs to say this.
That's great.
He's that kind of guy.
I have the ability to scan that. So before I leave, let me make sure I have scans of whatever you want.
Well,
that's fantastic.
Yeah. See, well, there isn't too many of them.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful.
See? But it's
that's wonderful.
All the issues you're talking about. So
yeah.
I'll just talk about the issues for a minute.
That's
and then
great.
You can go
that's
there.
Great.
So I was one of the top four or so human resources. That's what they called it back then.
Yeah.
They've changed it twice since then.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what I was. I just got there for 2 years. Before that, I'd been in budget. Then I got over there and got this great job. And the next thing I know, it was 1980. And the boss who was running our department, anyway, he couldn't find anybody else to run the programs. Back in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else said, no, we're going to stay where we were. We don't want to do this.
Right.
And he said, well, he was this kind of guy. He just said, well, the three I really wanted, not one of them took the job, but I think I can protect you for a while. Well, within 2 years, he was gone, and I was running the house, the executive department.
Yeah.
So that's how that happened, because I got along well with the governor and everybody I worked with.
Yeah.
So that worked out just fine.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, this is one of those, there's so many pieces, it's hard to say, well, which came first, now this worked. But you did mention already that we had created a specialist came in that had three. We had three people that put together the finance report on what our revenues were and whether we needed to just adjust more money in or reduce more money.
Right.
And thank God we had it every quarter. So every 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were going back to the legislature and the governor reporting that. Of course, he saw it first.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
seeing how this was working. And we didn't turn it around till about 1983.
Yeah.
And of course, this is one of those sad things where he worked his tail off. And then once the money started flowing in, they got a new governor.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was talking to somebody. Who was I talking to? I can't remember who it was, but they were saying, you know, he left Neil, you know, a real clear deck.
Yeah.
And, you know, money in the coffers, everything.
Everything was, just perfect now.
Yeah.
And, of course, the guy that ended up getting it, because the whole idea was he was supposed to be a Republican, the next one.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't turn out that way.
Yeah.
He was... Last I heard of him, he was the head of Eugene's program, which is fine. And I really, really liked him. So I'm still a Republican.
Yeah.
But I'm a liberal Republican, so I have to hide in his house because there aren't any more of those people.
Yeah.
You're either a real Republican or you're one of these guys. You know?
Right.
So anyway, that was all good. So then the next, I'm just going to go through them then on pieces here and... I'll hand them over to you at any time here, but let's see. So when you go through this, you'll find out what the issues were, and you know them.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, on my list, it says, the first one is jobs and pay for people that wanted to be in government, work in government. Well, it obviously was going the opposite. We had to cut something, so we made a list of what was going to get cut, and that was one of them, was we can't go along giving people pay raises. And in fact, the big guys, and we all look at each other around the table, are going to take a cut in pay.
Yeah.
So we can tell the rest of Oregon that we're not feeding ourselves. We're trying to make this work for everybody.
Yeah.
And he did a nice job of responding to them on that. So that problem kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
That wasn't big.
Yeah.
Then one of them here, and I don't know where it is here, but I'll get it in a minute. If you remember, the biggest issue was the taxes on property that California had frozen those things.
Yeah.
So no one was going to have increased taxes. We had to give increased taxes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say that in here, that the truth is the Republicans and the Democrats got together in their own quiet room and said, we understand. We do understand. And we'll give you just enough votes to make this work,
mm-hmm.
so it's okay. But we have to, but he said, well, the governor now said, I promise if we do this in 2 years, we're going to give it back.
Mm-hmm.
And no one, I don't know how many countries have had a tax increase and then given it back.
Yeah.
He did. Our governor did.
Yeah.
So that was so good, and that was the final note that everyone said, the man is as honest as I've ever seen out of anybody, ever.
Yeah.
So that worked good.
Yeah.
But he took the heat for it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Democrats just quietly said, we'll give you the number of votes, what is it? Mm-hmm. And they went around and found out, who's leaving in the next 2 years and can afford to stay? Yes, I voted yes on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was...
That and safe districts and have them together in their yard, yeah.
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 And we still have a mess in that issue.
Yeah.
You know, so that's going around. And he wanted that to get fixed so bad, and he fixed it as good as he could, but...
Yeah. Well, it was fascinating when we hit 2002, and Kitzhaber has to call all those special sessions.
Yeah.
You know, people said, well, what about the income tax surcharge? And it was a no-go.
Right.
It just, the politics had changed. It wasn't even on the table.
Right.
It's fascinating.
Well, yeah, and I'm just guessing here. I'm not publishing or anything, but that was the point where that governor that I worked for, that's about when I retired.
Mm-hmm.
I got out 2000 even.
Mm-hmm.
But he had already, I guess the word would be, ticked off almost all the Republicans. So they had pretty much decided whatever he wanted to do, they weren't going to support,
yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that 99 session was when he got the Dr. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is fascinating to me because when he beats Bill Sizemore in 98, he wins by a record amount.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I've looked at the different districts of legislative districts around the state. In many of the Republican districts, Kitzhaber got more votes than the incumbent Republican senator or representative.
Huh.
It's called political capital.
Yeah.
He had more than they did.
Right.
And yet, we didn't see true tax reform come out of that. We saw him burn bridges.
Yeah.
It's just like,
why did he do that?
What? I had a fascinating talk with Ted Kulongoski about that same thing. It's like, you know, this comes along every 75 to 100 years.
Yeah.
And just frittered away.
Yeah, exactly.
Frittered away.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
Because this Oregon needs a lot of help.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're in the bottom five on a lot of different issues when you compare with other states.
Yeah.
There's got to be a reason for that, and there's got to be a person that's going to stand up and fix it.
Exactly. And say, hey, a tax system based in the 1920s economy needs to change.
No kidding. All right, so that's that. Now, the next thing, and then we can go back, you can go back through the details here. So we talked about employees' pay.
Right.
And we did cut their pay, and we did cut them by almost 10%.
Yeah.
When you're talking about all the government workers in the state of Oregon and tell them all, every 10th person is gone.
Yeah.
We don't know which one that is. You just pick it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we had to do. We couldn't get too close to it.
Yeah.
And it worked. And you know what? the work went just as good. Uh-huh. Every now and then, you do have to trim things for one reason or another.
Yeah.
People are tired of it and want to do something else. Or whatever. So some of them volunteered. Okay, so then we talked about higher education. Higher education, the governor said it in a nice way. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get the business community to be successful. That's what we need. We need jobs, and right. We need good jobs. And I remember he came by, you know that too. Mm-hmm. The governor had came out of Washington, University of Washington. Yeah. County.
Oh, Washington.
Washington County. Yeah. That's where he came from.
Yeah.
So it's fun to be, but that's where Intel's came in, and
yeah. He
set that up for him.
Yeah.
And there were two or three other businesses. He was very good at getting dealing with business people and then saying, you know, now we can make this work, and Hillsborough will give you a little break on the setup and getting built and everything. But everyone was tickled pink.
Yeah.
We haven't had that happen lately either. Although, well, there's been some up in Portland. Some.
Yeah, yeah. But now the big argument is the strategic investment, because 99% of the money goes to Washington County. And so they're fighting in the legislature about they're getting too much money for
having income tax make up for the property tax they don't get.
Well, I think that's true. I mean, and it's not mean or nasty, but almost everybody outside of Portland and maybe Eugene, and there's another one, besides that, they just don't get it. The rest of this place is country mostly.
Yeah.
That's what, look at, we got 36 counties or something, whatever it is. But the Democrats are in the powerful. You know, who's got the most votes, how big your county is.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're going to do. They've got to work a deal out between the two of them.
Yeah.
And there's no reason that they can't, for heaven's sakes.
No.
So.
No.
We're working on that. The governor's probably still in heaven trying to work on some of this. Okay, so that's higher education. Higher education back then, they said they was way overpaid compared to everything else. Well, you know. That's an opinion, but when you're cutting everybody else, then what do you do with higher education?
Right. So, well, and it's interesting because nationally at the time, just as it is now, the state universities paid about 20% less than other comparable universities.
Yeah.
So in a national comparison,
yeah.
They were really low,
yeah.
But in a state comparison, they were high.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and we had to work out that. Have you ever heard the old joke on education? Our governor mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that, and it wasn't bad at all. But he had to work that issue out with mm-hmm. the higher ed, and then with the education people. Period. You know that whether they were a principal or whatever, unions,
yeah.
all of that.
Yeah.
And their question was always, "We need more money."
Yeah.
And so he, being a business guy, said, "Well, what do you need the more money for? What are you going to do with it? I mean, we're cutting everybody else back."
Mm-hmm.
And they would just say, "Well, he just needs more. Just give us some more." And so he said, "You're just kind of like a cement wall. I walk up to the wall and I hear a voice on the other side says, 'We need more money.'" That's not a very good way to work out this problem.
Exactly. Exactly.
So anyway, they're still working on that.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
But they are making progress, so that's good news, I guess.
I actually, Friday, somebody approached me to possibly brief the new University of Oregon president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who comes from the University of Chicago, to brief him on Oregon politics.
Yeah, it's different.
One of the things I would be saying to him, you know, besides the other stuff, is, you know, you have to be transparent. You guys just aren't.
Yeah.
Still.
Exactly.
Even if they Frohnmayer, they weren't transparent.
Yeah. Oh, that's, I'm sorry, that was the name I was supposed to mean. Frohnmayer was a favorite guy of mine. Mm. I liked him a lot. He was, you know, he was almost wired. There was no way he was not going to get elected.
Yeah.
You remember?
But then he forgot the campaign.
No, it wasn't that either. I mean, it could. That was part mm-hmm. of it. No, the one that killed him, the Republican Party, brought a new, another guy in.
Oh, the Al Mobley thing, yeah.
And that was just enough votes to get him out. And then we got a nice, the first lady, I guess, governor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like, what were they thinking? Yeah. See? Who did, they just took a shot through their own foot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next. I mean, that's the last governor, and it might be the last governor for another 50 years. Who knows?
No. The state changes. The fun thing about the state changing to be more democratic, one of the main reasons it's happening,
yeah,
is because of all the high-tech industry Vic brought in.
Yeah.
All that brings in moderates and Democrats.
Absolutely.
And with the way the Republican Party is, they are not going to vote for a Democrat.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Jerry Thompson and telling her that, and she said, oh, I wish you were here right now so I could look him in the eye and say, you, Mr. Republican. But that's the change.
Yep. Yeah. Jerry was a great lady, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know that. But I was in on almost all the important meetings from that point on with her and then usually with the governor.
Yeah.
And so she and I would go in and visit on some things. But she did a great job. Okay, higher education, human resources. Now this one, in today's world, would be considered cold on people. Human resources. They reduced welfare recipients by 30,000. And there was a terribly nasty joke. And that was, I said, well, how are we going to make that work? And he said, we're going to lock the front door and the side doors, and only if they can find where the back door is are there going to be any increases. And that was the concept. We're trying to get from zero to 30,000 less.
Yeah.
And it was tough, but it worked. I mean, at the bottom, when you get all done, you help a lot of folks, and the ones that didn't come back either, particularly, which was interesting. Okay, the guy that ran that, and I can't remember his name either for a half a minute here, but anyway, he was tough. He was a good Lutheran and very hard at working. We got to make this, if the governor wants this to make it work, we'll make it work.
Yeah.
All right, higher ed, human resources, public schools, type up, property, taxes, those kinds. Gas taxes was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
During that process, which is crazy because we needed it so much. Take a look now.
Yeah.
You know, you can't save money for very long on that. It's kind of like what we were talking about on the other things. You can do that for a year or two, but you've got to get it back.
Yeah.
So that's still fumbling around in the legislature as we speak. Okay, we talked about excess income taxes. Oh, but we created taxes for the rich,
right?
Which was exactly a good thing,
yeah.
And reduced the taxes for the poor.
Yeah,
that seems like a very good common sense to me. And no one really, they didn't really complain much at all on it.
No.
Which kind of means maybe there's something inside of them said, yeah, I think they're right.
Once again, the comparison to the. The two tax measures we had that we did in January, like 4 years ago, that raised income taxes on the upper payers.
Yeah.
And there are still people in the legislature that passed across the state. And there's still people in the legislature, Republicans, who are saying, I'm here because of Measure 66 and 67. Those were wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, well, your constituents voted for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good luck with that. But,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, so we did gas taxes gonna pass here too again. They've got to have some more money. Excess income. Okay, governor. Now here's the one of them, and I'm surprised because I didn't know this, and I should have known it. At towards the end, which would have been 1983, when he finally had money coming back in and could start things, that people wanted to make a residence for him down here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But he did have a residence down here for a short while.
He had the...
it was right next...
The rental house.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating because they raised the rent on him twice.
Yeah.
As he was taking pay cuts.
Yeah.
And it only had heat in half the house.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been there a couple times.
Yeah.
But it was very, very modest.
Very modest.
Right next, and the house next to him was higher education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And his granddaughter, Megan Atia, who is the 1% for art kind of thing. Her office actually looks down on that house.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. So.
See, this is all good. That's what one of the reasons I'm enjoying it here. It's all trying to do the right things for the right things for the right reason.
But he did. There was actually a proposal to do Mahonia Hall.
Yes, when they.
And he said no, and then Neil is the one who finalized that.
Well, yeah, but it gets back to our Republican who thought he had the job wired.
Yeah.
And he was going to move into the new house there. Yeah. So that didn't happen for a while. Well, of course, he got thrown out in shame, too. They don't even have a picture of him in the Capitol anymore, I don't think.
Well, allegedly, it is down in the basement behind some bookshelves.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's happened before. Every now and then when someone's done something like that, you get put in the basement for a while. But he did screw up. There's no. Okay, tax reform, we said. Support the private businesses, and we talked a little about that. He did a lot for them in that. Okay, so that's about it. And I don't need to keep these.
Okay,
but
that's great.
I recommend it. And
that's fantastic. I'll take a look at them, and then I'll add them to our archives.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. But, you know, when people understand it was his, these are his words, or if they weren't, he changed them to his words, and he did a darn good job at it.
That's just, that's amazing.
Okay.
One of the fun things about doing this is, he truly had an open office.
Yeah.
And the journalists say they didn't have to make an appointment, they could just walk in.
Yeah.
He was sometimes on the phone, and he just motioned them to sit down.
Yeah.
While he in the office with him, he's on the
phone. He's talking to somebody,
and then he talked to him, and and the weekly staff meetings, those kinds of things, and talking. I've interviewed both Barbara Roberts and Ted Kulongoski, and because Barbara was Secretary of State from '85 on,
right,
and so she got to sit in on those meetings. She was just amazed. Yeah. They all tried to do that. And
she fired me, by the way.
Oh, yeah? Did she fire you, or did Patricia McCain fire you?
No. Patricia liked me.
Oh, okay.
No, it was some kind of personal, because she had sat in on all those.
Yeah.
He let her, and that was fine. And she did fine.
Yeah.
But when she got the governor's position, that was the first thing she did was call me up. Mm-hmm. I went over there, and she said, I don't want you in my organization.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, okay.
That's
the way this is supposed to work. And she said, you're damn right. That was the first thing out of her. And I said, well, I just need to learn from my mistakes, and I just want to know, what was it that makes you very unhappy?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, because you let those old guys that were puffing smoke around that table, and all you did was, when they did some terribly sick joke, you laughed. She said, they're old guys. They're not going to change, but you should have known better.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, obviously.
Yeah.
So that took care of that. So then I went over and was the finance guy and that kind of thing for the school district for 4 years, and I loved it.
Yeah.
Everything went fine.
Yeah.
So it was one of those good things.
Yeah.
So I don't have any hard feelings toward it. I really don't.
Yeah. It's learning about the governor's immediate staff.
Yeah.
It's a big deal when you're an at-will employee at that kind of level.
Yeah.
And you have to always know that. You have to always know that.
Yeah.
And talking to Denny Miles, he pushed the line a couple of times.
Yeah.
And he knew it. He stayed the entire 8 years. But,
there's
some lines there.
You can cause some damage there in that process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So did you encounter Vic when he was in the legislature at all?
No, not Harley. He ran and lost against...
In 74, yeah.
Bob, who
right.
who didn't do anything, by the way, to speak of.
Mm-hmm.
He got a couple of key things about protecting the houses next to the ocean and all of that, trying to get that was public property. I mean, so he had a couple of things that he really wanted to do, and he did them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like he just sat there and went, now what do I do?
Yeah.
And we said, well, we thought you'd have a kind of a longer list. He said, well,
the Greenway Ocean. Okay, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah, I just got here a couple of months ago, and it's mm-hmm. like, so anyway, he was a nice man, but again, didn't get a lot of ground. He didn't change hardly anybody's ideas.
Right.
Good guy. Still a good person, and then, of course, the poor guy passed away. But he did a lot of good things. I shouldn't say that. I'm just gone blank for a half a second. Our governor in 1970.
McCall.
He did that. That being, he'd love to go down and talk to the newspaper, and he would dump all the top secret plans to them. And then he'd come back and you know, as finance people are trying to get the numbers to work and everything else. And it's like, what? We don't even know what the numbers are yet. We're still working on this.
Yeah.
But he just liked to visit with people.
Yeah.
And he was a good person and an honest man. So I'm not complaining, but mm-hmm. some people like to be that way. And then, of course, we have governors who want to hide in their, you know, and stay away from them.
Yeah.
Which has been not good.
Yeah. I actually really like Ted Kulongoski, but he would disappear into his office.
Yeah.
And when he would campaign, same kind of thing. He'd go to a town. He wouldn't go do all these things. He'd go out with the editor of the paper, and they'd go fly fishing.
Yeah.
But, you know, we elected him twice, so it worked. Whatever it is, it worked. But it's strange.
Yeah, that is strange. He and I got along wonderfully well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he really is. When he ran the attorney office, mm-hmm. attorney general's office, and he just was bored. He's mm-hmm. one of those kind of guys that gets excited for about 2 years and say, well, it's time to do something else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I thought when he was Supreme Court Justice, you know, that'd be it.
It was, and it wasn't. He got bored.
I know.
He's just, what am I supposed to do, sit in this little office and decide, you know, what my position is on this? You know, it's boring, you know.
Exactly. So you didn't really run into Vic when he was in the legislature?
No. No, yeah.
Okay.
Because he got elected in 7, wasn't it? Or 8, 70, I mean.
78. So he became 78, governor in 79.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just that he was in the legislature, he was kind of Mr. Revenue Committee guy.
Yeah.
The one they went to on taxes.
Yeah.
He played that role in the legislature.
Good.
So some people, you know, you played with him or you didn't play with him.
Right.
And I'm also discovering that unless you were in that world, if you were a Democrat, for instance, who was not in the revenue world, you never dealt with Vic at all.
Yeah.
And it's partly because that was at a time when the Republican caucus was 6, and then they went up to 7. There's a picture that Wally Carson has of the 6 of them in one of the phone booths on the second floor. it's an amazing group. There's Tony Meeker, there's Bob Smith, there's Wally Carson, there's Vic. It's like, you know, the future of these guys is pretty darn amazing.
Yeah, that's a strong group.
That's a very strong group.
Yeah.
But talking to them about how you make a six-person or 7-person caucus work, Wally Carson was very funny. He said, when we had 6, Jason Bowe put us on every committee in the world. Wally had 1 free hour a week.
Oh, gosh.
Because he was doing committees.
Hard work.
But the committees are where they could do all their influence.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did have influence.
Yeah.
But on the floor, they were nothing. So he becomes governor. Where are you in 79 when he becomes governor? What's your position?
I was in human resources.
Okay.
And I was the guy that ran the federal money and programs okay. that were supposed to be distributed to the poor and stuff.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay.
And I liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a good job.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, because people don't really understand Oregon's budget. That's a huge chunk of the budget.
Yeah.
It's not the general fund.
Yeah. No, exactly. It is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
And then I was only there for 2 years, and I had to turn around, come and join the governor.
Yeah.
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 So that was good.
Yeah.
That worked.
Absolutely. When you came to join the governor's, so you become one of those people that is going to the meetings every week, the staff meetings?
Yes.
Okay. What were those meetings like? Were they substantive every time? Was it more just hearing what people were doing? What was the governor's role? What were those meetings like?
Well, generally, he had a good group. That's mm-hmm. that's one.
Mm-hmm.
And we would literally just relax, and they'd smoke their cigarettes or whatever, and mm-hmm. they'd start with the police superintendent or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and he'd explain what had gone right and what had gone wrong, because he wanted to know, I don't want half a story, I need to understand exactly what happened, you
right.
know, he's that kind of guy.
Yeah.
And they'd work something, I mean, just literally within maybe 5-6 minutes,
mm-hmm.
the governor had given him okay on what he could do or not do about that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just go to the next guy. And now, we're running into the problem already, aren't we? There were no women at the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they did pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we were just talking about the human resources part. That guy was right onto this. And not only was he there and didn't he do exactly what the governor said, but he'd go in and visit quite a few times, because that
yeah.
was a lot of people and a lot of issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so there's only about 4 or 5 that are really, you've got to talk to them every week. There's
right.
just too many important things going on.
Right.
And so then we did to get a lady get to sit down there. That's it. So he did very, very well. But he was always good about, he didn't just blow it off. He didn't
yeah.
just listen and say, oh, that's good. Next.
Yeah.
He wanted to know, you know, if there's a problem here
mm-hmm.
and there's something we should be doing, I need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And there'd be blank there for a little because they thought they just could skip over it, you know.
Yeah.
And then they say, well, yeah, maybe it is a little more serious.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember when the, what was the name of the group that was
the Rush Nishis?
Yeah. That was a zoo for a while. No one knew how to deal with that one.
Yeah. Yeah. This book, when it comes out, I'm hoping will have stuff that no one has ever heard about the Rush Nishis.
Yeah.
Simply because the state government side has never been told.
Yeah.
And Jerry has the boxes.
Yeah.
She was on top of that thing like nobody's business.
Yep.
She was running it.
Yeah.
And I have just discovered sources in our archive that allow me to show her I know a heck of a lot more than I used to.
Yeah.
To crack open those boxes, I think. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
You know, it's hitting, you know, land use things, poor Norma and her elections. You know, Vern Duncan in education.
Yeah.
How the state police are doing things. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. A lot
it's
of stuff.
It's all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Okay, so the meetings. His management style has been described as he tried to pick the best people, and that could he didn't ask about political party.
Right.
And he also, much to the surprise of people at the beginning, he kept a lot of strong people
mm-hmm.
in place. But he then would say, okay, so here's the parameters. You go figure out how to do it.
Uh-huh.
You hire who you need. You do all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Did you experience that kind of freedom to manage under him?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, once I had the whole department, it was
mm-hmm.
just like, and I was with him all the time, and I was very clear about That's all I know. I didn't pretend I knew things I didn't. And, you know, I just had to be honest. And when he said, and he would just smile and say, well, John, it's okay. You've still got two more hours before it's dark. Just get out there and find out. I mean, he and I had a nice sense of humor with each other. And I'd go get it, and I'd find it, and I'd bring it back. That's how you have to do it.
Yeah. That's wonderful. The 1979 legislative session has been described as kind of the high point in terms of budget. You know, this is when Prop 13 in California has passed the previous June.
Yeah.
So that's hanging over everybody's head. We had in the 78 election, there were, it's Measure 6 and Measure 10, but there were two property tax measures, a legislative one and an initiative. And so that was hanging over people's head. What do we do about this?
Yeah.
So in 79, we get the kicker.
Yeah.
Comes out of the legislature. And then eventually...
Which is, by the way, it's still terrible.
Yeah.
Mode. That's...
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the big elephant that was all over every one of us. The local counties, the state, feds for that matter. Everyone's trying to figure out what in the world's going to go on here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Just so you know, when I talk to people like Bob Smith, they still, the kicker is the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But then, yeah, there's also a huge give back of tax money in that 79 session.
Yeah.
$600 million or something. It's a huge chunk.
Yeah, it was almost $800 million, I think.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah. And then
it was a lot.
Yeah. By the end of that year, Paul Volcker starts ratcheting up interest rates and the housing market collapses, which hits us. And so for Vic, he had approximately 8 months that was not financial crisis.
Yeah.
And then 7 years, which got better after 83, but still.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's 7 years. In 1982, when the big recession hits, the one that just devastates the timber industry and all that.
Right.
What did you see in terms of dealing with that? Was it triage? How do we, you know, our budget is shrinking.
Yeah.
So what do we do about that? Was it triage plus... How do we help these companies? How did that work in 82? Yeah, 81, 82, that whole thing was happening.
Yeah. No, I'd have to tell you, I sat there and listened to all that, but it was like a death knell. It dawned on us that we've got all kinds of communities all over Oregon that aren't going to make it. There's nothing we can do fast enough and good enough to keep them from losing almost every employment job there is.
Yeah.
And then Goldsmith came in and tried to make that work, you know, come up with new programs for different communities and stuff, but it's still very awkward, very hard.
Yeah.
So no, I don't remember them coming up with any good, significant.
Right.
Program that could have changed anything around for a while.
Yeah. So it's when by the time we get to 82, 83, that's when Vic is beginning to say, we need to bring in Japanese businesses and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So that's kind of the future. It's
he was creating new jobs for people. Yeah. That's the best
but
he could.
Not in the timber communities.
Right.
That's
no, they had to kind of find another job.
And
exactly.
Okay. Okay. That's great. When he started doing all the international travel, did that make sense at the time that he was going off to do these trips? Did people see it as a junket? Did you see it as, wow, this is something that we need to do for economic development? Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember it, but I like the guy so much. He could have told me, you know, it was, you know, diamonds, and I would have said, right, boss, okay, now I understand. I mean, but he did go over there, and so did Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
She was with him almost every time that I remember when they went out.
Actually, they split up when the Rajneeshis were big.
Oh, yeah.
She took one of them had to be here.
Yeah,
so
to deal with
she
that.
Went by she, herself to Taiwan once.
Yeah.
And the governor stayed here.
Yeah.
But most of the time she was here and he was off when the refugees were.
Yeah.
Were hot.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know what else to tell you there.
Yeah, okay. No, that's good.
Yeah. But look at us today. We still haven't gotten much better. I mean,
no.
We're better, but not much.
No. One of the things I talked to someone who went on the, actually, probably the most important trip, which is unitary taxes in July of 1984. And that fall, there's a delegation that goes to Japan and to China. And Japan loved that we got rid of the unitary tax. And so the governor actually talked to this big business association called the Kaidenran that no American governor had ever talked to before.
Yeah.
You know, just it was like a triumphal trip.
Yeah.
But when they went to China, it was amazing because they went to a place called Fuzhou Province. So it's kind of Taiwan, inland from Taiwan. And the big realization of the Chinese was, while Oregon looked the same size on the map as their province, there were only 2.5 million people in Oregon.
Right, yeah.
And there were 40 million people in Fuzhou Province.
Yeah, in one province, yeah.
Yeah, and so what they expected from the relationship was not what we could give. And so there was, and the relationship is still there.
Yeah.
But for the Chinese, it was a huge learning curve. We aren't California.
Yeah.
We're this little place.
Yeah.
They can give you expertise in how to harvest trees better and stuff like that, but.
Yeah.
Tough thing.
Yeah. And it's going to be a tough thing still in the future. But
we're still in that stage.
But again, as near as I can tell, just because when we had a little group, we'd talk about where he'd been and what he'd done.
Yeah.
And everything he touches was good, though.
Yeah.
They treated him very well with a lot of respect, and he did the same for them. I thought, thank God, we got a guy that can do this stuff.
Yeah. At his memorial service last September, a huge amount of the flowers up in the front were from Fuji Television in Japan.
Isn't that the relationship still
up to, you know, after his death.
Makes me want to cry sometimes on those things. Good. Yeah, that was good. So now what? Now what are you going to
do? Well, I'm just going to keep writing this summer.
Okay.
I had sabbatical started at the end of January.
Okay.
I do political analysis, so there was a 2-week period when I was not working on the book because our governor was exploding.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fun. But yeah, just get as much done as I can this summer, and hopefully it gets published next year.
Then what? Are you going to run for office?
Oh God, no.
Good.
I'm someone like you. I would love to be appointed to something.
Yeah. Where you
the electoral stuff?
Where you can be on the inside watching, but
exactly.
You don't have to. Yeah.
The electoral stuff is crazy.
Yes, it is.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. I'm this pot issue now. It'll take them several years to straighten that all out.
Yeah.
And I'm not completely against it, but it's got some good and some very bad, too. I don't know if they can deal with it or not.
The amazing thing to me on the pot issue is it's been a year and a half. The legislature put together a committee to say, we're anticipating it's going to pass. Watch Colorado. Watch Washington. So we can hit the ground running. And apparently, they didn't do anything.
That's right. They assigned... The governor did here. This is our retired governor. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. He put one of the guys that he had worked for him for 30 years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
September. I mean, yeah, right. 1980. No, it was even less than that, about 1975, from then till when he was retired.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, I'm going to make a very small group again up in Portland, working on good ideas, but this guy needs a job.
Yeah.
And so he was assigned the OLCC.
Yeah.
He doesn't know this any better than any of us. So it's going to take a while.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. One last set of questions for you. You talked about Straub and his management style, which was kind of confusion after he figured out what it was. You talked about Victor's management style. What was Goldschmidt's management style like?
Well, that's an interesting question. I haven't had that one before, but I did work closely with him enough to know he was a very bright guy, and he had a lot of good ideas, and he treated people well. I don't remember him going around doing ugly things in any sense of the word. But then when the paper up there in Portland got a wind of it, he knew he was a dead man walking. It was just a matter of time before the whole story came out. And the minute that happened, he was gone. The next day, practically. So I don't know what you do when you're a good person now, but you made a terrible mistake, you know, whatever it was, 15 or 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah.
I just.
Yeah, there's some things our society doesn't forgive.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah. There just wasn't good enough to forgive.
Yeah. So working for him was, it was fine. You had access to him.
Oh, yeah, and very bright and very quick and with a sense of humor. So even if I screwed up once in a while, he'd say, wait a minute, you've got this one upside down, John. Damn. And they'd laugh, and then we'd go on to the next thing. He was just a very easy guy to get along with. Uh-huh. He really was. Uh-huh. I don't think I've heard anybody complain about what he did on a face-to-face issue, but he still had that anchor of sin that he couldn't get rid of.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's fascinating because people at I talked to Dan Simmons last week. But people at your level they worked well with Neil, and Neil worked well with you.
Yeah.
People slightly outside of that, including all the other elected statewide officials, had a hell of a time with it.
Yeah.
They couldn't see him. There was too much staff. You couldn't. I mean,
I think
so. There's a very interesting thing going on there.
Yeah. No, I think that's true, and that's true almost all the time, though. There's a lot of little organizations and whatever that just demand having the governor approve this or what, and it's like, you're not even 1/10 or 1/1,000,000 of anything around here. The governor's got important things to do.
Yeah.
But you do have to at least say, a 15-minute visit about, I like what you're doing, and, and Joe over here is going to come and visit you next week and see if we can do even better.
Yeah.
And that's all you have to do.
Yeah.
But if you can't get governors, and you shouldn't be getting governors, to waste their time on small items.
No.
I'm sorry, but that's just the way it has to work.
You got to prioritize.
Think of poor Obama. How that guy's going to... He's been beat up one side and down the other now for 8 years.
Yeah.
You know, to work hard and do everything you can and still have enemies shooting at you every day.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
Yeah. It was interesting talking to Barbara and Ted, because since Kitzhaber was governor, he didn't play well when he wasn't governor, and then became governor again. So those three, the bond among ex-governors is really strong.
Yeah.
Because they know all the stuff that comes at you. And,
yes.
And it crosses party lines.
Yeah.
We see that with Bill Clinton and George W. Bush. They haven't become close friends, but they've become friends.
Yeah.
Because
they know how
it's a hell of a job.
Yeah. Well, that's why when you get someone like the lady governor, she didn't know what she was getting into. Mm-hmm. And she did have a strong executive that was running most of it. But, exactly.
Yeah.
You, I can't imagine some people who are so naive to think, well, I'd be a great governor. And I have a famous saying that I did. Of course, I shouldn't have, maybe, but, you know, it's just interesting because I've had guys, I'm seriously now, come into my office or ask me to come over, but mm-hmm. I'm going to run for governor next time. I want you to help me with this. And I looked at him and I said, you're not even close to being able to run for governor. What are you going to tell people? Yeah. What are your five most important things and how are you going to make those things happen? Well, I just, you know, I've been in the legislature halls. I've walked around. I know what they're doing. I said, you know what? I said, my mom is the smartest, nicest person in the state of Oregon, as far as I'm concerned. But she'd be a very bad governor. He says, and that's what you're saying me too? And I said, yeah, basically. But you can, you know, take it for another year or so and see if you can, something grows.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're going to have to work hard at it. I'll just tell you that.
Yeah. That's the stage the Republicans are in this state.
Yeah.
You know, the Democrats, the governors are better or worse, but at least, you know, there are people around them saying, you know, if you're going to do this, you need to learn a lot of stuff.
Yeah, big time.
Whereas poor Dennis Richardson, there wasn't even a mechanism to train him on what the heck a governor might actually do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Just hung out to dry.
Yeah. That's an honest answer, too, yeah. So, I think you've got it made, partner, on this issue.
Great, good.
You've got to
take this stuff. Yeah, this is wonderful.
Okay.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Here you go, and here's... See, this shows you I've...
Oh, good. That's great. Yep.
So if anything else comes up and you want me to run over there and, you know, pick up another, pile of diggings.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Okay.
So there's the copies of the...
whoever wrote the message to the governor.
Message, yeah.
And this is the governor's response.
Governor's response.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.